Good evening. Thank you for coming, and I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that you're here. Pastor Benny always has unique ways of introducing people. Maybe something fun with language is like you would say, "Hey, I'm Vijay." That's how I introduce myself. But it's interesting, in Spanish you say, if you translate it, you say, "I'm called Vijay." I was like, wow. It's like, you know, the first time I understood like the literal meaning of it, I was like, I'm called by God? No, I'm called, which I think is beautiful. Like, that's how I'm called. We had a great time yesterday evening at MG Road. It was fun. Just there's like, you know, it's still bustling like ever before. Lots of students and people just, you know, flocking in that area all the time. We're there on Tuesday nights. We're there on Tuesday nights. Is that okay? Also on Saturdays at 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30 to 6 o'clock. Come on out if you're already a part of an outreach or something. It's awesome. But if you have the time and if you can make it, come and be part of it. I need your help, and it's good fun. Saturdays, if you come out, you can even like just come even with your family, hang out for an hour or so, and then you have the rest of the evening for yourself to do what. It was fun. I spoke to groups of students yesterday. I'm kind of using my time to like promote this, but I spoke to a couple of students yesterday who were like, probably they were in their 9th grade or 10th grade, and then they were sitting outside coffee shop, which was like had like banging music, like you could feel the music coming out of the thing, and it was, you know, supposedly like an uber cool coffee shop. And they're sitting outside and smoking, and I was like this close to them, and I was like, "Hey, you know, where are you from? What am I?" And then they're like, "Oh, you're a teacher." They were like, "Oh, like I can't believe that we're sitting in this place with my friends, and then I'm still having, you know, to speak to a teacher." Okay, maybe I'll take 5 minutes and share a message. I thought of this in the last 2 or 3 days. The presidential debates is happening in the U.S. This is nothing about politics, but I watched it a little bit, and I was like, you know, there was so much surprise, and I thought of self-righteousness. You know, and it's like self-righteousness is like a funny thing. It's like I'm surprised at how crazy you are. I'm surprised at your old sin nature. That's self-righteousness. I thought, like, okay, if on the other hand, like, you know, I'm saying, if you are surprised at how crazy I am, I'm shocked at that. I'm shocked at why are you so surprised? Don't you know that this is how I am? Like, good heavens, look at me. I can be as crazy as you can imagine. Why are you surprised at that fact? You know. I thought, like, so self-righteousness is like, I thought self-righteousness results when my convenience becomes the measuring line to evaluate others. I thought of that story in Luke chapter 7, verse Christ is in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and the Pharisee, and then there is this lady who comes and she's weeping at his feet, and she's prostitute, and then Simon is thinking in his heart, if he knew what sort of what manner of woman she is, then, you know, if he were truly a prophet, he's thinking these things. That's like that attitude. I'm shocked at your, like, I'm surprised at your old sin. Christ, I love some of those phrases. Christ replies, I have somewhat to say to you, Simon. I have somewhat to talk with you. I feel that many times sitting in a message or receiving something, you know, I can, like, you can sense like God speaking to the heart, and he's saying, I have somewhat to say to you. And then you realize that it is like God is like showing me something far bigger than like my own way of like measuring people up, right? I thought about this with self-righteousness, sin nature. There are portions in Scripture where even God is surprised at my sinful nature. You know, like one part I am surprised, and God is like, hey, even you're in the same boat. But there is like some portions where even God is surprised. And that is like, you know, one is in John chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus, like, there is that guy. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. He is like, he has an infirmity for 38 years, and he's waiting by the pool for someone to push him in the water. And then there's no one to dip him in that water, and he's waiting to be delivered. And Christ says, what? Take up your bed and walk. Like, and he's like instantly healed, right? And later on in the story, Christ is like telling, he goes to the temple, and then he sees the same guy. Christ is talking to that guy whom he healed, and he's saying, you know, like, take heed about what you're, sin no more, you know, lest a worse thing come upon you, to the same guy. It's surprising. I cannot grasp that. I cannot grasp. Matthew 6:23, if thine eye be evil, like how great, like, you know, darkness he's talking, how great is that darkness? So there is that element of surprise that even God is expressing, like, good heavens, I healed you, and now you are, I am persecuted for healing you. Wow, that's like fantastic. Self-righteousness blinds us to the point, I don't realize how far off I am. And the theme, I love the theme in the last few weeks about guarding our hearts. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the grace, be strong. Guarding my heart is, you know, there is the part of like protecting myself from in the times that we live in. We say we are in perilous times. How do we know that? It's not just that, but in that time, guarding my heart is also about learning to think with God's thoughts, learning to be well acquainted with his ways. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 10. And I feel like, you know, how can I do this? The body of Christ is a safe thinking environment. The body of Christ is a safe thinking environment. It gives me the space to, like, how did I learn to think? I did not come to think this way on my own. It did not drop on me just one fine day. But we learned it, right? I was taught how to think. And then I have the liberty to think. I have the freedom to think. Just this last thought. Okay, self-righteousness. I want to finish with this. The opposite of self-righteousness, the opposite idea of self-righteousness is what? Maybe I can say God's righteousness, right? Or we have a term that we are imputed righteousness. Like God giving me his righteousness, he put it on me. And by how? By the moment I believed. Romans chapter 10 verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to for everyone who believes. If I have God's righteousness, then wow, like, you know, does it make a difference? It changes my life. How? Because I believe that God's righteousness produces in us brokenness. It does. Self-righteousness produces what? Something else. God's righteousness produces a brokenness in my life. And here's the thing. It gives me clarity in my thinking. I am not free if I don't have clarity in my thinking. I thought of a picture of liberty, like, you know, Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty." In NASB it reads, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free," right? "Let us therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." I want to show like two pictures and then finish this introduction. Yeah, the first picture, you know, think about this, you know, liberty, right? Stand fast in the liberty, right? There is a way that we see, like I look at freedom and I think freedom and liberty like this. Oh boy, if this was true about my life, and I would be like, that would be liberty. Okay, I want to read this verse and finish. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 9. This last verse, I'll take the time to read it. Maybe you could even turn to that verse. What the eyes see is better than what the soul desires. This too is futility and a striving after wind. What the eyes see is better than what the soul desires. Okay, when I said clarity, like, you know, clarity in thinking, clarity of purpose, that is what enables me to experience my liberty that I have in Christ. So my view of liberty is different. The way God is talking about liberty is different from the way we naturally think about liberty. God wants me to say, like, God, like, open my eyes. I want to see, like, what's that verse again? It means what the eyes see. I see this, what the eyes see, then the wandering of desire. I see this picture, you know, as like a picture of my natural thinking. And it's like a wandering of desire. Oh, if this were true about my life, whoa, how awesome would it be? But in pursuit of this picture, I'm like, you know, jumping from one box into another box into another box, never coming to grab this picture. It's a wandering, but better than a wandering desire is what the eye sees is better, right? So I want to like show another picture, the next one. Okay, how do you think this picture is different? You know, this. Just wanted to close with this, that there is a way that God is like, you know, showing us, and then it's like, it's different. And I cannot put my hands on it apart from being in this thinking environment, right? God put me here, and the reason I can have God's thoughts and be acquainted with God's ways, and then he shows me the secret of how he thinks. And here it is. If I had clarity of, you know, purpose, I don't need to have like all the details of the plan figured out. If I have clarity of purpose, it means I'm like, I can like, you know, what my eyes see, I have it. I'm not grabbing wind. I'm not trying to grab something that's not there. I'm grabbing what is there. And so just that it's so when like liberty, when God promises, he's saying, I want you to actually have it and experience it and enjoy it and not just grab the wind. Like, I wish. No. Have it. We'll just pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Just bless the remainder of this service and just help us have joy and fellowship, Lord. Thank you for your presence among us. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.